I was the final prophet that we have there in our King James Bible, and Malachi, and turn to chapter number 3, Malachi chapter number 3 this morning. And if you look there in verse number 1 is where we're going to start, and we're looking at the Lord's return, the Lord's coming. Malachi prophesied of both the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. And I believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in Malachi 3. Say amen if you found it, so I know you're there. Amen. Malachi 3 in verse number 1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of in righteousness." That covers the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. It covers John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Now look on in the verse number 16 of, skip on down to verse 16 in chapter 3. And we're going to read into chapter 4. Notice what it says. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, and the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." Now we're going to take our text out of verse number 18, where it says this, "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." I'm going to preach on this little thought today of when he returns to discern. When he returns to discern. Let's pray. Father, God, you are coming back. And Lord, when you do, you're going to discern between the righteous and the wicked. You're going to discern between those who lived for you and those who didn't. You're going to discern between those who love you and those who hate you. But Lord, you, if one thing is for certain, you're coming back. And Lord, as we lift up our heads, as the Bible says, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And God, we believe that, Lord, the second coming, your second coming, is the next thing on the great prophetical calendar. And God, we're looking for it with anticipation. Bless the word, help me to bring it. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning, as I preach on this thought, when he returns to discern. You know, as I said, this is the last day of the year, and we're closer to the second coming of Christ than we've ever been before. Amen, and that's true. When he ascended into heaven, the angel proclaimed and promised that he would come back one day. In the book of Acts, we read about that in chapter 1, and the Bible says, in Acts 1 and verse number 6, as Jesus went out, this is what the disciples said. "And when they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's coming back just like he left. The Bible says he went up into a cloud. A cloud received him, and that's how he's coming. Hallelujah for the child of God. That's how he's coming for the saints in the rapture. We read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13 to 18. And the Bible says that when he comes, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Thank God, that's the rapture of the saints, the rapture of the church, where we're caught up into heaven. But you know, that's not the only time he's coming. At that coming, he's coming back, and he doesn't actually set foot upon the planet. In the rapture, we meet him in the air. The saints meet the Lord. In the revelation, sinners meet God upon the planet. You read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And that coming of Jesus Christ is a horrific coming for those that are upon the earth, because God is coming and us with him to judge those that live upon this planet. And 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, the Bible makes it very clear in this, in the revelation, it says when he comes that he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he's going to come. Verse 9 says, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's the revelation. When Christ comes to execute vengeance and wrath upon all those who hate him upon the earth. But he's coming. He's coming in the rapture for the saints. He's coming in the revelation for the sinners. And he's coming in the restoration for the seed of Israel. People say, well, Israel is forsaken. Don't you believe it? Israel is not forsaken. Matter of fact, God says, if you read Romans 9, 10, and 11, it gives you the history of the Hebrews, the history of the nation of Israel, and how that God dealt with them, he blinded them and set them aside, and how God is going to restore them one day. One day David will reign from Jerusalem. Hallelujah, amen. And the restoration of all things will be complete. These people that don't believe that God has a plan for Israel, they couldn't be more mistaken. And in Romans chapter number 11, I'm glad that our president has taken a favorable stand towards Israel. Thank God. I'll have some more things to say about that in a minute. But in Romans chapter number 11, this is what Paul pinned down, and this is what he said concerning Israel. He said, for I would not, brethren, have you that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion and deliver, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, and thus touching the election, they are beloved of the Father's sakes, for the gift and calling of God are without repentance. Hallelujah. Christ is coming. He's coming for the saints, he's coming for the sinners, and he's coming for the seed of Israel. But hallelujah, he's coming. You know, there's seven judgments in the Bible. And we're going to look at three of them this morning because they deal with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in these judgments is where Christ is going to discern. He is going to judge. The Bible calls him the judge of all the earth. And the Bible says he's going to judge, discern, in verse 18, our text, between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Can I say that this morning? That's a sobering thought. Because God is going to judge his children. You know where all judgment begins? All judgment begins with the people of God. The Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And that's with you and I. That's why the rapture is the first event to take place, because that is where judgment must begin. With God's own children, with God's people, the people of God. If you'll look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning, you have a record of the judgment seat of Christ. And notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse number 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husband, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. First verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Now you think about it for a minute. If God is going to judge all the world, wouldn't it make sense that He would judge His own children? Do you realize that one day our works are going to be judged before the whole world to see? And Jesus Christ is going to judge every child of God. And our works are going to be tried. Our works are going to be tried in the fire. And to see what they were. And to see whether they were gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Hey, you say, what is really being judged in our works? Our motives. Why we did what we did. Hey, everything we got glory for on the earth is wood, hay, and stubble. Everything that God got glory for is gold, silver, and precious stones. Everything we did to be seen of man is gone. Everything we did to gain for personal gain is gone. Everything we did with the wrong heart and the wrong motive is wood, hay, and stubble. And God's going to discern. You know, we like to judge everything and everyone. But you know what? You can never judge a person's heart because you can't see it. But God can. And at the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to discern between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. See, judgment must begin in the house of God. And God is going to judge our works, whether they were good or whether they were evil. I think the Bible makes that very clear. And when it comes to God and his perspective of the child of God and how we lived, he's going to judge our works. And our works will be tried in the fire. And our works will be touted in the fire. You see, the fire reveals what we really were. It reveals whether we were the trash or whether we were the treasure. The fire is going to reveal that. And it's going to be trumpeted for all Christianity to see what we did for Jesus Christ. You read those verses. Notice what it says in verse 14. "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the fire." You see, what we did is going to be touted. What we did is going to be shouted upon the housetops. What we did for Jesus Christ. You know, I thank God for people who do things for Jesus Christ and no one ever knows it. The good that you do, the kindness that you demonstrate, the love that you show to others. You say, "Well, I'm not getting any benefit from that now." Don't worry, you will. Hallelujah. You see, one day our work is going to be rewarded. And God will be faithful to show those and discern between those who serveth Him and those who serveth Him not. Our works that are in our temple. You say, what is our temple? It's our body. Look at verse 16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy." Which temple you are? Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives inside of here. He says, "Let no man deceive himself. If there be among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." Hey, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 now. And notice what it says in verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. It says, or verse number 8, it says, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the care of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also manifest in your consciences. Now what's that say? We're going to receive the things that were done in our body. You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, think about it. Everybody's going to get something. Everybody's going to get something at the judgment seat of Christ. We're either going to receive a reward or we're going to receive a rebuke. We're going to receive the blessings of God or we're going to receive something else at the hand of God. If you'll take your Bible and look in Matthew chapter number 25, Matthew chapter number 25, it records what God is going to do with a child of God one day. It records how that God is going to deal with us and how the Lord's going to handle those when it begins to deal with His children. Matthew 24 is where we want to go. Matthew 24. And I want you to notice verse number, look at that, verse 36. It's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. And notice what it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What was going on in Noah's day? The earth was filled with violence, right? I mean, you can't turn on the news unless someone was killed and murdered somewhere. Horrific killings all over the world, all over America. I mean, the earth is filled with violence. Can't get away from that. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It says, for as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Hey, people are not looking for Jesus Christ. You read over there in Luke, it talks about as it was in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. All the sodomy and the sexual perversion in the day in which we live. We're living it. We're seeing it. It says, then shall two be in a field, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill. One shall be taken, and the other left. When Jesus Christ comes, some are going up, and some are not going up. My grandmother used to read that, and I'd be terrified. I would tremble down to my shoes. Because I thought to myself, Joe and I sleep in a bed. And what if Joe is taken and I'm left? I said, what if Mom and Dad are taken and we're left? I sleep in a bed with my mom and dad. And I thought to myself, when Jesus comes, two are going to be in a bed. One's going to be taken and one's going to be left. It's going to be just like that. Because in any house, there are some that are saved and there are some that are lost. Some are going to be taken. Some are going to be left. When Jesus Christ comes, it's a universal coming of Christ. There are 24 time zones. And let me tell you, there's going to be people doing all kinds of things. There'll be people working. And one minute, they'll look at their friend and he'll be gone. Because Jesus Christ is coming for His own. One will be taken. One will be left. That's a sobering thought. He says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready for the Son of Man, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. The moment people think Jesus isn't coming, let me tell you, He's coming. He says, who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them their meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Remember, he's going to discern between him that serveth and him that serveth not. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he's not aware, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. Hey, the Lord's going to deal with us as his children. He made it very clear that He's going to deal with us. And He's going to deal with His children severely. The Bible says in another passage that he that knew the Lord's will and prepared him not shall be beaten with many stripes. You say, as a child of God, everybody's going to get something. Everyone will have their reward one day. Because God is going to discern between him that serveth him and him that serveth him not. Paul didn't write down, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, do we persuade men for nothing. Because there's going to be great loss at the judgment seat of Christ. And so many Christians are going to enter into that thousand-year millennial reign in shame and humiliation. Because God is going to discern between him that served him and him that served him not. That's the judgment seat of Christ. And then there's the judgment of the nations. We're in Matthew 25. Look what it says in verse number 31. Matthew 25 and in verse number 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate the one from another, and shall, as a shepherd, divide His sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. And then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And for I was a hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, or took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done unto least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. You see, God's going to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between the righteous nations and the wicked nations. Between the sheep and the goat. And how they dealt with the nation of Israel. You know, this week, there were 9 nations that sided with the U.S. over the capital of Israel being Jerusalem. And Nikki Haley invited those 9 nations to a banquet there in New York. And they were the only ones who got invited. I think it was 100 nations that didn't even show up for the vote. But there were 100 and some that voted against us. And when it came time to be rewarded, the U.S. said, hey, all you that are against us, fine. All you that stay at home, fine. You 9 that voted with us, come on into the banquet. I laughed to myself. I thought, that is just how it's going to be one day when God separates the sheep from the goats. Thank God we got a president who's being favorable to Israel. Amen. You say, why is that so important? Because have you ever read or the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, where God gave a greatest promise to Abraham, Father Abraham? God gave him a promise, and he said, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. If nothing else, Donald Trump may succeed as a president just because he's recognizing Israel. Because God said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. That's the blessing. The curse is verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry or thirst or stranger or naked or sick or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, in so much he did it not unto one of the least of these, he did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Life eternal. You see, God's going to discern between the sheep and the goats. God's going to discern between the righteous and the wicked. God's going to come in judgment one day. And then lastly, simply this. You have the three judgments we're speaking of here. You have the judgment seat of Christ for the child of God. You have the judgment of the nations concerning how they dealt with Israel. And then lastly, you have the judgment of the great white throne. You say, what judgment is this? This is the sinner's judgment. If you look in Revelation chapter number 20, this is what the Bible says concerning the sinner's judgment, concerning Satan's judgment. Revelation 20, the Bible says, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him in the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished, and this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death shall have no power, but they shall be priests of God, of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Hey, you live for God, you're going to reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are on the four quarters of the earth, and Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and could pass the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out, as things were written in the books according to their works. You know, God's going to declare people's works one day. But you know what the problem is? Concerning sinners? There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You see, a sinner's judgment is based solely upon their works, and it's why they have no hope. It's why they have no hope. Because their works will condemn them. You say, Brother Chris, why is that? Look in Revelation 21. Let your eyes go across the page and look at verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters. You say, Brother Chris, I've never done all those things. But look at the next one. And all liars shall have their part in the lake with burnt with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. You know what the problem with most people in the world today? They're not just liars, they're stinking liars. And when they stand before an almighty God, their stinking lies will condemn them and send them to hell. You say, why? Because they didn't accept the grace of God that covers all sin. They said, I'm a good person, I don't need Jesus Christ. But they forgot that they were a stinking liar. You realize there are 615 commandments in the Bible? 613. 613 commandments. And the Bible says in James, if you've broken one, you have broken them all. And that's why the sinner's judgment is so devastating. Because they're going to say, what did I do wrong? And Jesus is going to say, hey, you didn't feed me, you didn't clothe me, you weren't kind to me. When did we do those things? You were a liar, a thief, and God's going to begin to run off the list. Verse 13 says in Revelation 20, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You see, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Do you realize that no liar will have his name written in the Lamb's book of life? I said, now, Brother Chris, that doesn't make sense because all men lie. Yeah, but there's a difference. You see, the child of God, our sins have been cleansed and washed away. In God's eyes, I don't have any sin. In God's eyes, I'm clean and pure. In God's eyes, hey, I'm just as sinless as Adam was before he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In God's eyes, hey, there's my record in heaven. And even though I'm all of those things that the Bible says I am, this is what I am in the eyes of Jesus Christ. So I can have confidence in the day of judgment. Because my name's in the book of life. And I'm a child of God. And I'm not trusting in myself to get to heaven. If I was trusting in myself to get to heaven, then these 613 commandments would surely condemn me. Because I'm a horrible sinner in the sight of God. But because of Jesus Christ, I'm a beautiful saint in the eyes of God. And there's a vast difference between those two things. You understand why the sinner will be so mortified at that moment when God begins to reveal their sin, all of their sin? That's why the great white throne will be so horrific. See, Jesus Christ is coming. You mark it down. He's coming. He's coming for the saint, and He's coming for the sinner, and He's coming for the seed of Israel. But He's coming for every one of us. The million-dollar question, though, is, the million-dollar question is, where will we stand at that day? What judgment will you stand at? Salvation is based upon the redemptive work at the cross. We call that grace. Damnation is based upon the sinful works of the flesh and the breaking of those 613 commandments of God. Where will you stand? He says in Malachi that He's coming to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Where are you going to stand? What is your position this morning? How's it going to work out for you individually?